Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
We have a shout-out to one of our listeners' sweet great-nieces, Avery and Greta, the two kindest young women. Today is National Twin Day. If you want a shout-out, the text line is open for you at 504-260-1870. Joining us is Louisiana State Representative Jacob Breaux. Jacob, you don't have a twin, do you?
No, I do not. But, you know, I was listening to you earlier. It does seem like they do have a unique bond, especially identical twins like y'all were mentioning.
Yeah, it's kind of like they're on the same wavelength telepathically, and they finish each other's sentences. It's pretty remarkable to watch. Okay, tell us about this lawsuit. Who is being sued? Why are they being sued? What are they asking for? What is this all about? I'm familiar with the bridge, and I know it caused me a lot of headaches because I go to Plaquemines Parish. That's part of my fishing and hunting playground down there.
Sure,
and
I started. I know it's outdoors. Yeah,
I started taking an alternative route because of it, and then it got finished, and then they put tolls on it, and people were complaining and businesses were losing money. Tell us what the deal is.
Right. So when, you know, somebody comes from out of town and they don't know about that toll bridge and they don't know about that go-pass and you pull in a boat, I mean, you're going to get a bill in the mail for over $60, which is just ridiculous, to cross a man-made 12-foot deep canal. But yeah, so the local government, Plaquemines Parish, filed a lawsuit last Friday. And what they're alleging, they're asking for, you know, declaratory injunctive relief and damages because they believe and they I believe they have evidence of that their tax revenues are going down because their local because this tolling bridge, the way it's set up and the way it's been operated, which I believe is poorly, is that the local businesses, it's suppressing their businesses and then, suppressing their customer base and therefore going to suppress or lower the local government's, you know, tax revenues. So that's what it's about. And then it alleges a number of things in there. It sounds like now you got to remember that they've sued both the company that's built the bridge, Plenary Infrastructure. They've sued this company that the bridge company hired to operate the toll, CAPSH, and then they've also sued the state. So, you know, kind of got to be careful what I say here. But what it also alleges is that basically the company that built the bridge and the company that's doing the tolling operations didn't do everything that they were constitutionally required to do when they do a toll. And not to ramble on, but say, you know, say you come across that bridge and you want to contest that or challenge that toll. It appears that these companies did not go through the proper procedures to have an appeal process for that toll. So it's kind of like, you know, the fox guard and the hen house type of thing, to where if you wanted to contest that toll, if something was wrong, the license plate was wrong, the rate was wrong, whatever it may be, that basically the person that's charging the toll is deciding whether or not it was correct or not. You have no right to challenge that. So there's a lot of things involved in the lawsuit. It's going to be interesting to see how it develops.
How are you involved with it?
Well, so I'm the state rep. So I'm on the legislative side of things, not the, you know, the administrative or the executive side of things. So, I want to try and find a fix to this. I think I myself and Senator Connick helped me. We've done a very good job of bringing out the details of this up in Baton Rouge as to how bad of a process or really a failed experiment this public-private toll bridge has become. So we're going to try and hopefully find a legislative fix to this, which, you know, maybe may lead to some revision of that contract, a buyout of that contract. You know, I've been asking for what the buyout of the contract is for since I've been in office now, and I still haven't gotten that number. I've consistently gotten delays. You know, at first it was, we didn't know what it was. We needed some tolling numbers and figures, and clearly we have that now. We had 4 months of tolling over the summer, and I still haven't gotten that buyout number. So we need that to work towards hopefully maybe bringing this thing to an end. So, you know, we'll see that and see how that works in the upcoming regular session this spring.
So who would become the new contractor?
Well, you know, that's all speculative, right? So, you know, the bridge itself is still not finished. I mean, it is almost right. going to be 2 years over its completion date. And the company plenary is still getting fined $5,000 a day until it is completely done. So who would be the contract? You know, I think, again, it's a contract, right? So contracts can be negotiated as long as both parties agree. This one, you have a signed contract that was signed back in 2021. And as it unfolds, you know, the details of it get more disappointing. And I think that's partly why the local government filed the lawsuit, because they've lost those tax revenues. And from what we understand is, you know, the governor suspended the tolls on October 2nd. There were some informal conversations with the bridge contractor and the state government. I don't think that any resolved anything. And then I think they went, per the contract, they had to go to a formal mediation, which they did, I believe, last Tuesday. And from what I understand, nothing apparently productive came of that. And then you saw this lawsuit filed by the local government on Friday. So, Don, you know, it's complicated, right?
Yeah, sure.
So, and I think, you know, and then now lawyers are involved, and I think this thing will be litigated for some time now. And, you know, but currently the contractor is plenary, and, you know, overall, once the bridge is complete, you know, maybe there's an option, or there should be an option per the contract for a buyout. But as a legislator, I need to know what that number is so we can work towards a buyout.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a quick break for traffic, Jacob. But when we come back, I want you to try to give us an idea of what the amount of the damages will be, who will be compensated if the lawsuit is won and it is awarded. We're talking with Jacob Breaux. He is Louisiana State Representative, about Plaquemines Parish filing that lawsuit over the Belle Chasse Toll Bridge. And I know it has been a real problem for a lot of local businesses there. There's been some impacts. I don't know if they stand the gain. I got a text in here from, let's say it was Karen, and she says she's still getting monthly toll tag statements, but she's not paying them. So evidently they're billing people who own the tags, but they're not being paid. Or I guess some people are paying them, and so will they get their money back? As Jacob said, it is a convoluted and complicated issue. All right, it's time for traffic. That's not very complicated. We just find Joe Cordosi somewhere out there in the fog, and he gives us a traffic update on what's going on as you do your daily or weekly commute on our highways and byways. What you got, Joe? All right, welcome back into WWL's First News. I'm Don Dubuque filling in for Tommy Tucker. We're talking with State Representative Jacob Breaux about the lawsuit Plaquemines Parish is filing. They're suing the Department of Transportation and Development, Plenary Infrastructure Belle Chasse, Plenary Louisiana Tolling, and CAPS Traffic.com USA. I don't think they missed anybody. Jacob, do we have any idea of what they're asking in damages and who will collect it?
Sure. So what happened during those 4 months of tolling, you had over $5.1 million in tolls billed to anyone that crossed the bridge, you know, Belle Chasse, wherever people may be from, or out of state, what have you. But there was also over almost $6.8 million in administrative fees. So what the lawsuit's, I think, attempting to try and do is one, the governor's already suspended the tolling. So October 2nd forward, there is no tolling. People should not be getting any new bills from that date forward. And then for the bills that occurred, you know, from May through that October 2nd date are what I'm telling you about, the $6.8 million in administration fees and $5.1 million in tolls. And if the lawsuit is successful, those amounts would be have a full accounting, be reviewed, and then people would get, you know, restitution or repayment for those amounts that they were charged. You know, I think we had one lady in when we had a committee meeting up in Baton Rouge, she was charged over $6,000, which is just ridiculous.
Okay, so 11.9 I guess that's $11,957,349. Yeah. That's administrative fees and tolls. What about damages lost to the businesses? Because they were claiming that the people weren't coming and it was costing them money, and then the parish was stands to miss out on the tax. So what's the ticket on that?
Well, you know, I think that's a yet to be determined number, right? Because I think, you know, the parish would have to go into their lawsuit and prove whatever revenues they lost during that period because of this tolling, which was done improperly, right? But, you know, you have the first bridge where you got across that, you know, like I said, it was the Fox Guard and the Hen House, right, where they did not provide, they did not go through the necessary procedures to have a proper tolling system and to have a proper appeal system to that tolling, where, you know, you basically had these private entities that clearly have a very strong incentive to maximize the tolls and the administration fees as much as they could be. So that's the first hurdle. And then after that, you know, that would be, I think, on the local government, on parish government, to try and get that number. Again, like I said, Don, this is going to be a lot of litigation and very complex, but at the same time, it seems like there's some very strong arguments here that are going to be debated in this lawsuit.
Yeah, well, so do you think individuals would be able to recoup their money that they've paid already? Would it be paid back to them if the lawsuit's successful?
That's what it does at first glance in the lawsuit. Now, again, you know, the lawsuit's going to be litigated over a time period. There's going to be rulings from the judge and whatnot that'll affect all of these things. But yes, I think the lawsuit itself is looking for restitution of those you know, whether it was tolls or the administration fees that were improperly charged. But you still have to cross that first hurdle where they have to successfully get a ruling that they were improperly done.
Well, thanks for explaining that all to us. And Jacob, I don't know when you decided to run for state representative, you were signing up for this legal activity. You do a good job at it. You sound like you might have some legal background.
I do. I'm a local attorney out here in Belchase, so I don't know how we'd be getting through this without that experience. But
glad to have you. All right, Jacob, thanks so much for the info. We appreciate it. Have a good one.
Thanks,
Doc. There he goes, Jacob Rowe, Louisiana State Representative. All right, coming back after this, according to a new survey, 30% of Gen Z is afraid of making a phone call. Can you believe it? We'll explore that situation when we come back. But right now it's time for news. Let's send it over to the WWL Newsroom with Ian Ozan. For those of you not familiar with the designations, a Gen Zer would be someone born between 1997 and 2012, which would make them between 13 and 28 years of age. And I got to tell you, there's been some pretty strange things said about Gen Zers. There are some traits they're exhibiting. Joining us to talk more about this is Brenda Seary. Brenda is a hiring expert. In fact, she is the president and CEO of Corporate Connections with 20 years of industry experience in talent acquisition. Brenda, in acquiring talent for your clients, do you find that we've actually got these young people who just fear talking on the phone with telephobia?
I do, yes. They absolutely prefer text communication over phone communication anytime.
What do you think causes that? Is it just because they can text, they do, it's easier, it's less stressful and not quite as nervous, and you get to think out your thought before you send it as opposed to just speaking extemporaneously?
I do. I think that's a lot of it. It sort of gives them a little control, right? They can make sure that what they're saying sounds better than if they were in a conversation with you and have a fear of maybe stumbling over their words, right? So I do think it adds a level of control to the conversation on their part.
So what happens when you get an employee with telephobia? I mean, is there a way to help them overcome that?
I think it depends on the circumstances. I think if you have a remote employee, it's really easy for people to communicate on chat platforms within a company, right? There are several different platforms that could be used, Teams being one of the most recognized. And if you're a manager and you've got an employee working from home, you can just reach out through Teams, ask the question you want to ask, and no conversation has to occur. However, if you're in an office, that adds a level of strain to these Gen Zers because they are going to be forced to have more of those face-to-face conversations.
I had no idea this was so prevalent. I've got some callers that have texted me now, and one says everyone that she works with is telephobia, and I asked if they were Gen Zers. She says, yeah, and their job is to sell stuff. How do you sell stuff without talking to people over the phone?
Right? It's unfathomable what's going on. But I think back, I have a child who is a Gen Zer, and she, you know, that generation sort of is the first one who had cell phones, you know, for communicating at such a young age, where anyone, you know, millennial and above didn't have them so early on. And my daughter would text me from inside the house, and it made me so angry. I'd say, you can come talk to me. So I don't know if some of it is, you know, just learned behavior from a young age. And now there's just such a level of comfort with that, that they're really struggling to have face-to-face conversations.
I witnessed a group of teenagers at a high school football game. They were sitting on the same bench directly across from each other. And instead of talking, they were all texting.
Isn't that amazing?
And the ball game was exciting, and that was totally out of the question. But they were sitting there texting each other almost face-to-face, you know, instead of speaking.
Right. I've
got another text here that says, my Gen Z 16-year-old daughter has telephobia. She can only talk to her friends and close family comfortably on the phone. Anyone else, it's like pulling teeth.
Right. I think it's so interesting. I know I grew up in a generation where we had, you know, phones on the wall and long cords. And I remember sitting and talking to my friends for a long time and playing with that phone cord. And you know, it was just different generationally. And I can imagine, you know, what your viewer is saying, that it's very hard to have conversations if they're not comfortable. And there is a level of comfort that comes with texting, like I said, because they feel they have more control over the conversation.
Here's another one that says, my 26-year-old daughter is afraid to make...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
A phone call, and she works at a theme park, so she deals with people all day long, but will not make a phone call. So I guess speaking person to person, she's okay, but when it goes through a phone, maybe there's something there that makes them nervous and afraid to do it. I don't get that.
I don't get it either, to be honest with you. I think it's absolutely scary to think about the fact that there's a whole generation of people who are afraid to verbally communicate over the phone.
And you would think that, you know, maybe teachers should really concentrate on that. You know, they always say that one of the biggest fears of people is public speaking, that they're just petrified. Mm-hmm. And now maybe it's also moved over to the telephone now.
Isn't that something? Yeah, it really is. I know I have a part-time job as an adjunct professor, and I teach master's degree students. So they are at the higher end of Gen Z. And a lot of them, you know, one of the things I make them do is stand up and give an elevator pitch to the class. Let everybody know in a matter of a couple of minutes who you are, why you're here, what your plans are for the future. And I'd say 90% of them are terrified to do it, shaking the whole time they're doing it, you know, and it's just an epidemic, I think.
Yeah, well, you know, I've also found that, you know, a lot of times if you get a young person, maybe a Gen Zer on the younger end, and they've got a fear of speaking, if you let them speak about something they're passionate about, I know some kids that are just crazy about hunting and fishing, and boy, they'll just rattle on with that, but try to get them involved in any other conversation. It's difficult, but maybe that will help bring them in. Brenda, if you would, stay with me for a second. We're going to take a traffic break. When we come back, I want to find out more about what you do as talent acquisition, or the business that you have, the corporate connections. And also, we're listening. I got some more texts coming in. If you know someone that has telephobia, it's kind of a new thing, fear of talking on the phone, or phone call anxiety, you can talk. Text us. You don't have to talk. Just text us. 504-260-1870 is our talk and text line. But in this case, we'll accept the text. We'll be right back. But first, let's take a look at traffic with our traffic reporter, Joe Cardosi. Joe, how's the roads looking? All right, back with Brenda Seary. She is the president and CEO of Corporate Connections with over 20 years of the industry experience in talent acquisition, and we're talking about something she deals with her potential clients, and that is telephobia. And Brenda, I had no idea it was this extensive. I've got a whole list here of text messages that are coming in, and this one, and I'll share them with you. One says, Gen Xer here. It's not a fear of speaking on the phone. It's that some people are bullies when they speak, and I want the option to either ignore you or get my thoughts together to tell you off. Phone calls are annoying. Here's another one that says, phone phobia is very annoying. My secretary sends texts or emails to clients when I need immediate attention. I usually have to pick up the phone and do it myself. Her job, honestly, is in jeopardy because of this, but she doesn't correct the problem. Maybe she's listening. Another says, I have an 8-year-old currently whose school teaches them drama to help prevent this kind of phobia that Gen Zers are having with communicating. Another says, so many conversations about generations involve a generation criticizing the generation they raised. And yet we've got, it goes on and on. It says, every time my phone rings, though I've had a cell phone for at least 20 years of my life, as I've gotten older, I imagine the gut feeling I get is in some small way how people felt when air raid sirens rang out during World War II. Another has a question, don't they still teach speech in high school and college? But I don't know that teaching speech is the answer, because on the phone, it's different than face-to-face communicating. Brenda, it's for real, and I don't know, maybe we're in jeopardy of losing communication skills. Tell me about what you do with the talent acquisition. Let's say Don calls up Brenda and says, Brenda, I need somebody to do phone screening for me. Do you find the right person for me, and especially one that can't talk on the phone? We wouldn't need them.
Yes, that's exactly what I do. So I am officially a headhunter. So my job is to help my clients when they have very specific roles that they need filled. In the case of a phone screener, my client would give me a job description, and I'm sure that job description would be very clear about the fact that people have to be able to talk on the phone, that they have to be able to be empathetic and patient. And I would create a list of interview questions, and I interview every person face-to-face. I don't do phone interviews, and maybe that's easier on them, but it's my job to decipher if they have those skills and ask them very pertinent questions to find out if they could actually do that job before I present them to my client.
Got it. Wow. Well, thanks for joining us and talking about this and bringing this to our attention. I do think that, you know, definitely we've got, I think it should need to be reversed. Yeah, a lot of these people make very good arguments why texting is better. But, you know, there's also something lost in the text, and that's the voice inflection. And the way you say things have different meanings than the way the written word is. Don't you agree?
I agree with you 100%. And I would encourage, you know, people that are listening today that are parents of, you know, children to adults in the Gen Z range, spend more time talking with your kids face to face. When you're together, maybe start playing board games with them instead of letting them go off and play video games. I just think that the art of communication really starts at home. So I would encourage parents to communicate more verbally as well.
Thanks for being with us, Brenda. Enjoyed the conversation.
You're welcome. Take care, Don.
All right. Brenda Seary with the Corporate Connections. All right, we'll be back with more of the Tommy Tucker Show. I'm Don Dubuque, filling in right after this.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.